Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Ruth chapter 2. Verses 18 to 23. Ruth chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. The Bible says, "And she took it up and went into the city." Now, what it is the ephah of barley that she had gleaned from her day's work. "She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, 'What hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee.' And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, 'The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz.' And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be of the Lord, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen.' And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, 'He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest.' And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It's good, my daughter, that thou go out with her maid, with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field.' And she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." You know, Ruth is a very desirable young lady, a young widow. And by that I mean, not in terms of her physical beauty, because we have no idea what her physical beauty is. The Bible doesn't tell us. She has beautiful characteristics and desirable qualifications to become the wife of Boaz as this book unfolds into chapters 3 and chapter 4. Listen, when you think about Ruth and you think about how God blessed her, you have to ask yourself the question, why did he do it? And obviously he did it because he's God, and that's the way God can do things. But also, I think there were some things in Ruth's life, some qualifications in Ruth's life that, how would we say, caused God to want her, bless her, that allowed her to be in the place of blessing, that made it so that when the Lord did bless her, she was in a position to take advantage of the opportunity. I don't know how you want to say it. In other words, I'm not sure how in your mind you want to imagine God's involvement in her life. But what we have to take note of is that there are some things going on in Ruth's life that put her in the place of blessing. They are desirable qualifications in her life. And they don't have anything to do with her beauty. And they don't have to do with her station in life. They have to do with the character of the person that she is. And I'll say to you this, if you're a young lady, these are qualifications that ought to be in your life. If you're a young man, these are qualifications that ought to be in the life of the young woman with whom you plan to spend the rest of your life. You should think these things through. You should examine these qualifications. You should see perhaps if there are more. But even in just this little passage of Scripture, Ruth chapter 2, verses 18 to 23, these things are evident. Number one of the desirable qualities in Ruth's life is her diligence. She gleaned all day. The Bible says in verse 18, she took it, that is the ephah of barley, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and so forth. And she asks her in verse 19, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" You know, she didn't just go in 9 o'clock in the morning and glean till noon, you know, and say, "Well, there's enough right there. I got me something to eat." No, she was like Solomon had recommended in Proverbs, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Why? Because the ant prepares her food in harvest. And Ruth knew, if I'm going to get enough food to eat today, I've got not only to glean enough for the day, but I have got to glean enough for the time when we can't glean in this harvest. If I'm getting to glean here for 3 or 4 months or less, then I have to have enough food set by to take care of me the other 8 or 9 months of the year, you see. And that takes diligence, that takes hard work, that takes somebody getting up at sunrise and getting with it and staying with it till they can't see anymore. And you've got to admire her for her diligence. We got this society now that is very strange. I heard somebody say the other day about our economy. It's obviously weak. And about people and their wealth, and it's obviously diminishing in some respects. He said, the funny thing is today people are acting just like they did when they had money, but they're putting it all on the credit card. And that's true when you consider how many people eat out every day. I mean, what basically Ruth is doing here is she's working so she can get something to eat. And you'll see people in their work all day, and then they'll go spend $35 or $40 or more on their supper that night by letting somebody else do the cooking for them. And man, when you think about what a 50-pound bag of beans cost, or a 25-pound bag of beans cost, a 25-pound bag of rice cost, what chicken parts cost, and so forth and so on. Man, you can put together some nourishing meals, vegetables and other things like that as well. You can put together some nourishing meals for a lot less than you can eat out. And when you consider what Ruth had done in her work, you've got to admire diligence. You know, I know what the problem is. What it is is this. You've worked hard during the day. You don't feel like cooking. And you drop your laundry off at the cleaners because you don't feel like cleaning. And so forth and so on. Listen, living takes work. And Ruth was not afraid to work. She was very diligent. I'll tell you another desirable quality in Ruth is her generosity. The Bible says she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, watch it, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So Ruth took the little bit that she needed and gave the rest to her mother-in-law. You got to admire her generosity. Listen, this is the daughter-in-law taking care of her mother-in-law when she could have easily said, look, Mama, you may be letting me stay under your roof, but I'm going to tell you something. I didn't go out there and work all day to make this money so two of us could eat. Listen, money, this barley. If you want something to eat, get out there with me in the morning and get some of your own. You ever meet anybody that talks like that? This is the child taking care of the adult. This is the kids putting in some in the till. I was talking to a lady just the other day, and I said something about, she told me she was still living at home. And I said, well, the price is right. She goes, to the contrary, I pay my fair share of rent. I believe that if I'm going to be under the roof, I ought to put something in to help with the bills. Amen. Amen, amen. Hats off. It may not be the same amount of rent that she'd have to pay if she lived in her own place, but listen, that's not a bad thing there. They're a family. There's security in that, there's companionship in that, and there is help in that. And that's admirable. With her generosity, she'd say, look, I know I'm under your roof, but I'm going to put in some of mine. People have the strangest ideas. I'm your child, you give, give, give. Give me, give me, give me. I think that's what Solomon said goes on with a generation that's very much like ours. When he gets to the end of the Proverbs, he says, you know, there's a generation, and it's just give, give, give. Give me, give me, give me. Particularly now you consider this time of year, Christmas time. What'd you get me for Christmas? The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not it is enough. And he goes on to describe the grave, the barren womb, the earth, and fire. And I'll tell you what, there's a generation crying, give, give, that never have enough either. Spoiled? I mean, they don't just have a cell phone so they can be contacted by their parents to make sure that they're doing okay. As a matter of fact, parent calls and they'll say, well, I'll call them back later. Call them back tomorrow. That phone should be like a leash. And they don't want it unless they can have a G3 or G4. And I'm dating myself depending on when you hear this message preached. I'm talking about some sort of high-quality cell phone apparatus that's available today. But let me tell you something. I'm using something that's generations older than what children are using at their parents' expense today. You say, what is that all about? They're not generous. But Ruth was, and that's a very desirable quality in her life. I'll give you something else. Another desirable quality in Ruth's life was her faith, her trust in the Lord to lead her to the right field. Look again in verse 12. I know it's outside of the context, outside of our text, but it's in the context of our text. Boaz said to her earlier, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That isn't something that she did with Chemosh back in Moab. Whatever it was in Naomi's relationship with the Lord, I know Naomi came back bitter, but I think Ruth looked at that and said, who wouldn't be bitter after losing a husband and two boys? Nevertheless, she's trusting her God enough to know that my God is not helping her here in Moab. Perhaps her God will help her in Israel. I'm going with her. And so she trusted the Lord to lead her, and trusted the Lord to take care of her and her mother-in-law, and trusted the Lord to bless her work that day and her diligence that day to come up with an entire ephah of barley. That's a tremendous production of gleaning that day. And it took some faith. Listen, when you have the right kind of faith, may I tell you something? It's not one that causes you just to sit in the pew and soak it all up like a sponge. The right kind of faith is a kind of faith that is going to get you doing something for the Lord, just like Ruth did for her family. When Paul wrote the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he complimented them on three things that he noticed right away about their church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Look at that, your work of faith. Listen, when you have the right kind of faith, it's going to cause you to do something. Ruth got up in the morning and said, the Lord will direct me somewhere. I will be able to go out today and find a place to work, and I'm going to come back with something to take care of my mother-in-law. And she went out, and sure enough, God directed her right to the field of Boaz. She found favor with Boaz, and she came back with much more than she had expected to come back with, I'm sure. That's a very desirable quality in this young lady. Our society likes to live by sight. This society likes to make a contract with God. They say, show me what you're going to do for me, and then I'll see if I want to go off and do something. I'm not complimentary of a lot of what I see going on in our generation right now. We have a generation of kids that say, I want what I want, and I want it right now, and if you can't give it to me, I'm going to go out and get it for myself, and if I have to break the law to get it, so be it. And so they go out, and they deal in drugs, and they steal and pawn off things and cheat and circumvent every way they possibly can. They're not diligent. They're not generous. It's all about me, and they have no faith in God whatsoever. They cannot trust the Lord to provide one thing for them, and they're not going to. When you find somebody who does, that's a rare person these days, who gets up in the morning, gets on his knees or her knees, and says, you know something? Lord, today I commit my works to you that my thoughts may be established. I put my life into your hands. I offer my body as a living sacrifice to serve you, and I pray that you will direct me to the thing you want me doing today. And I promise, by faith, I will put forth the effort. You see, there's something wrong with our grades in school. Our grades in school are A, B, C, D, F. What letter in the alphabet in sequence is left out? A, B, C, D, F. You know what grade is left out of that sequence? E. And I think there ought to be a grade for E. You say, what's that? There ought to be a grade for effort. As a guy that trained me in the ministry said, if you're a C student and you work so hard and put forth the effort that you make a C plus, and I compare your grade with a guy that is an A student who makes an A minus, in my book, you did better than he did. Because you're a C student who had to work a little extra hard or work a little harder in order to make a C plus. You put in more effort. He is an A student, and rather than working up to his potential, he slacked a little bit and got an A minus. And on the grade for effort, you're better than he is, in spite of the fact that because of his natural abilities and talents and his intellect, he made a better grade than you did. Now, you look at that and you consider some people who work in various things like that. And I'll tell you what, if E were a grade, there are a lot of people that ought to be hired because they'll just do whatever it takes to do a good job in spite of the fact that there are some disadvantages in their education or other things that don't quite fit them for the job. I remember years ago, whenever we would loan money to folks, we would loan on character, and then we considered some other things that had to do with collateral and cash flow and cash and, you know, capital and stuff like that. They call this thing the five C's of credit. Now, I tell you something. I can remember distinctly on a couple of three occasions loaning money to folks based on the fact that they had the character. The numbers didn't show it. But you know something? They had faith that if they put forth the effort, God would bless and produce, and they did. They were the kind of people that had the character that said, listen, if I've got to eat peanut butter and jelly for the next 2 years so that you can get your money back, I will make sure you get paid before I get steak supper. That type of faith is a faith that will produce work. That type of faith is the faith that Ruth had. She said, if I'm going to trust God to do this, I'm going to have to put some footsteps with my prayers. And she got up and did something about it. Those are very desirable qualities in her. You ought to, if you're a young man without a wife, you ought to be looking for a young lady who's diligent, who's generous, and who has faith that will cause her to work for the Lord. But that's not all. Another desirable quality in Ruth is her gratitude. Her gratitude. Look here in our text again in Ruth chapter 2, and look at verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. You know what? And she did. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You know what? She was very grateful. She was very appreciative. Why? She dwelt with her mother-in-law. Okay? And she appreciated the fact that Boaz had said, keep fast by young men until they have ended all my harvest. She said, you know what? I appreciate the fact that this guy's going to let me do this again and again and again. I'm going to stay right with it. She didn't go out and say, you know, I'm getting kind of tired of working here with Boaz because I get pretty good, but I've been watching old so-and-so over there. He's a little bit more careless with the way that he harvests his field. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over there because I think I can get more for less work. That's an ungrateful person. When I went to Bible college, and I'm not holding myself up as the standard here, please, please, don't misunderstand me. When I've been off to Bible college, I was hired by a fellow to pour concrete. It was ornamental concrete, but it was nasty and heavy and sweaty and a lot of work nevertheless. We did a lot of work. And he said, I want to bring you in here because you used to be president of a bank, and I'm going to let you kind of run this and line us out. Well, I didn't know that business. He did. We tried that for a week, and I said, that isn't going to work. He said, okay, we'll be equal partners, and we'll make all these decisions together. And I tried that for a couple weeks, thinking maybe, just maybe, with my experience, I might be able to contribute something to this operation. And I went back to him, and I said, listen, we ain't going to do this. This isn't working. Here's what we're going to do. And I stipulate, okay, you're going to pay me by the hour for each hour that I work here. If I'm not working here, I'm not being paid. I'm not being paid to drive here. I'm not being paid to drive home. I'm not being paid if we work on, he had a ministry. if we work in that ministry. I'm not being paid if I help you around the house doing something with your house. I'm paid when we're doing work in this business. And this is what you're going to pay me, which was minimum wage at the time. And he goes, but brother, you can't, you know, that's not going to work out. It did. Could I have made more money working somewhere else? Oh, absolutely. Could I have made more money working somewhere else and not working as hard as I did? Absolutely. But I was grateful to this fella because he gave me that job. I was grateful to that fella because his wife cooked our lunches. Like this verse 14 says, he reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed and left. I drank the water that he dipped out of his brother's spring, just like Boaz said, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn in verse 9. What are you saying? I loved working with him, and I loved the man, and I appreciated the fact that he gave me that opportunity to work with him. I could have made a lot more doing something else. But may I tell you something? God showed me numerous things that I've been able to use and prepared me in certain ways for the ministry that would have never happened. And I made a tremendous friend. Sadly, he's gone on to be with the Lord, of him and his wife. She's still alive, living up in Ohio, and I get to visit with her from time to time. May I tell you something? I really, really appreciated them. Now, may I say something? I'm not holding myself up for the standard. I'm just telling you, when I see what Ruth did by staying in that harvest, I see gratitude. You know, you look at that and you say, well, I don't see gratitude there. Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. You say, how do you see gratitude in that? Because she could have easily said, I'm calling in sick today. She could have easily said, I'll go work in somebody else's field. I'm having to work too hard. I got to work sun up to sundown just to keep up with you guys. And over there, they drop more on the ground than I do for just fine over there. She wasn't like that. And I know that's the way it is in people's minds. You've got this job, you say, I want something better. You're not grateful for the one you've been given. And that's not a desirable quality. Why? Because you won't be grateful to the husband you've been given. You won't be grateful for the in-laws and into whose family you marry. You won't be grateful for the house that you live in. You're going to always want something better, something different. You ought to get really, really happy. As one man said, develop the attitude of gratitude for just the things that God has given you, in spite of the fact that you might think you could do better somewhere else. That's a very desirable quality, and Ruth comes off the page in verse 21. But here's something else. Not only are her desirable qualities diligence, generosity, faith, and gratitude, but also obedience. Obedience. In verse 21, he said, keep fast by my young men, and she did. And in verse 22, Naomi said, go out with his maidens. And she did. And she said, that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't let me catch you in somebody else's field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. She did what she was told. You know, that's a very desirable quality in young women. And you say, why is that? Because when a young woman gets into her teenage years, listen, there's all kinds of things. I mean, she's essentially an adult as far as her body is concerned. She thinks she's an adult as far as her mind is concerned. She's gotten to that place in her life where now she wants to rebel. That just kind of quells up in the heart. And you know, there are a lot of young ladies that don't obey mom and dad. Mom and dad say, listen to this kind of music. They do when they're in the house, but they listen to something else on the car radio. Caught you, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yep, mom and dad say, you can hang around with these friends, but don't hang around with so-and-so. So you hang around these whenever they're at your house. But when not mom and dad don't know exactly where you are, you hook up with that other friend. Mm-hmm. Caught you again, didn't I? You didn't know I knew. Mom and dad say, I want you to dress like this. And you do till you're out of sight. And then you pull something out of the trunk or the back seat or whatever it is. And you change into something that you know they wouldn't want you to wear. Caught you again, didn't I? Isn't that amazing? And they say, I don't want you to go to such and such place. I don't like you being associated with whatever goes on over there. And as long as you can give them something from the cell phone that says, you know, I'm over here at so-and-so's house. But you can still go over to that place they don't want you to go as long as they don't know. Ha! Caught you again, didn't I? You know what that is? That's disobedience. That's disobedience. And Ruth did not do that. Boaz says, stay by my young men. Naomi says, go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. Did just exactly what she was told to do. May I tell you something? You marry a young woman like I just described, you know, that cheats and cuts and rebels. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll really like hanging out with her when you're in high school and there's no responsibility in the relationship. Y'all can leave each other as quickly as you got together. But you marry somebody like that, and you're going to have to live with that type of disobedience for the rest of your life. If she won't obey mom and dad, she's not going to submit to you. Sobering thought, huh? Desirable qualities in Ruth: her diligence, her generosity, her faith, her gratitude, her obedience, and one other, her honor. Verse 22. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter." Wow. That was a close relationship they developed. "That thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean at the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed right there, did what she was told. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the earth." And she honored Ruth. Ruth honored Naomi. She honored her. She really did. She honored her with her companionship, with her presence, with her obedience, all those other things. Let me tell you, these qualities in Ruth are very desirable qualities in a young lady. If you're already married and you haven't had these qualities, develop them. If you're a young lady and you're not married, develop these qualities. If you're a young man thinking of marrying, look for a woman that has these qualities. You say they're hard to find. Well, then, you better do some serious praying. Ruth had them, and Boaz got the benefit. Somebody else is bound to have them. And you'll get the benefit if you're patient enough to wait and appreciate those qualities.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.